Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the live feed update for July 8th. We are here to tell you everything about what happened on the live feeds yesterday. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm joined today by Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
Doing well. I got my ring of replacement. I have used it on Alex, and here I am.
Yes, I think it's much easier to replace Alex now because we are, in fact, doing this at 8 a.m. Yeah, not exactly Alex's favorite time of the morning.
Yeah, well, I'll take that for what it's worth.
Yes. Let's get into these feeds yesterday. It was this feels like it's going to be kind of a slower week, you know, there's a very basic plan in the works, and especially with this temptation, I feel like it's certainly nothing compared to last week.
Yes. At first I thought you were being sarcastic, but compared to last week for sure, which was absolutely insane, this with the temptation and with possibly some outcomes of this curse, this could be a really straightforward week with Cody going home.
Yes. So yesterday we had the nomination ceremony. Paul puts up Alex and Josh as these are the pawns. These are the two that volunteered themselves, so to speak. And we also had Ramses put himself up on the block as part of his curse. Paul convinced him, you know, this is the move to make. You should put yourself on the block. And Ramses was saying, yeah, I kind of had the feeling that maybe I should when you won HOH anyway. He ultimately does do it. Liana, do you think this was the right move for Ramses?
Yeah, I think so. There is a very clear target. A lot of people in the house have made it abundantly clear that Cody is the person that they're going to target. You know, there's not going to be any funny business this week. Everybody's still clearly mad at him. And so if there is going to be a week where you have to put yourself up, I think this is the one to do it. I think he made the smart call.
Yes. And it's the thing I was thinking of, like when Paul is talking to Ramses about should you put yourself up, I was thinking I don't think it's in Paul's best interest for Ramses to put himself up. I mean, I kind of get that, like maybe Ramses being up means there's one less person being picked for the veto. And in that sense, then maybe it makes sense. But especially once you find out about the temptation, it's like you don't have to worry about the veto as much. And Ramses being up on the block means he can win veto. And if Ramses wins the veto, then you're in trouble because there is no replacement.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's just like America's nominee from BBOTT. There's going to be no replacement. So if Ramses does win, he can pull himself off. Now, I know that Paul has talked to him about, look, all you have to do is throw this veto competition. Nobody is coming after you. Cody is the clear target. You have nothing to worry about. But Ramses has said, I don't necessarily feel comfortable with that. And I know that he said privately that he's not going to throw the competition. So that could bode trouble for him if he does end up winning and the whole house might turn against him, but hopefully it won't come to that.
Yes, it's a tough situation. I do like this move by Ramses. I feel like there's almost no scenario where he goes home. Obviously, you know, it's a risky thing where it potentially, if Cody or Jessica are picked for the veto and then they ultimately win the veto, then it does seem like Ramses is the backup target. But I think the chances of that are incredibly slim. And that's partly because we had the temptation and Christmas did, in fact, win it.
Yes. So Christmas went into the Den of Temptation, was offered the Ring of Replacement and took it. So she has the opportunity to swap out with one of the chosen, the randomly drawn nominees for the veto competition. And from the way I understand it, she had a conversation with Paul last night, is that if she is chosen, randomly drawn, then she obviously cannot use the Ring of Replacement. However, if, let's say, Cody is chosen before her, she can immediately stand up and then replace him in that moment. So the only situation that Paul or Christmas would need to be worried about is if she is drawn and then Cody is drawn in that very specific order.
Yes, which it's very unlikely.
Yeah, I'm no statistician with probabilities, but I don't think that is, you know, that's not high on the probability scale.
Yeah, and you know, never before has the order in which you've been drawn for POV mattered so much.
Yeah, season of BB first, expect the unexpected.
Yeah, it would literally have to be Christmas drawn first, if Christmas isn't drawn first, then it's done. It's over for Cody.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have a question about Cody. If Cody doesn't win this veto, is there any chance that he stays in this game?
I mean, nothing is 100% certain, but he's just dug himself such a deep hole, and I can't imagine any situation in which he's able to somehow, you know, wiggle his way out of this one.
Yeah,
or hop his way out of this one, considering he's dressed as a toad right now.
Yeah, especially like for Cody and Jessica, it's been just one giant mistake after another. You know, he makes this huge error in trying to backdoor Paul, and then ultimately putting up Christmas. It doesn't work out for him. He alienates his entire alliance. But, you know, that move by itself wouldn't have been such a failure if it hadn't been followed up with continuing to alienate his alliance. You know, once you do this move and your alliance says, no, we're not on board with this, you have to be like, okay, I'll eat crow. I'm sorry, guys. Well, let's keep Christmas. You know, we'll do what you want. But he didn't do that. He's just continued to alienate them. He's continued to make victim noises and complain and whine. And like, oh my God, Paul should just win at this point. Oh my God. It's unbelievable that they want to keep him in this game. Why didn't they just follow through with my brilliant plan that I didn't tell them about?
Oh my gosh. He was complaining that America screwed the game because they rigged it, putting in cheat codes against all of the newbies. It's like, okay, like, yes, sure. Paul got this, you know, this 3-week thing. It's probably more production than America, but still, really, Cody. It just, oh my goodness. And you know what's so funny is the fact that even the people on the other side, you know, Alex was, who, you know, theoretically is like closest with him, has one volunteered to be a pawn in his demise. But second of all, was talking with Kevin about, look, we just got to placate Cody until he's out of the house. So even, you know, everyone on both sides of the house are against him at this point.
Yeah. We have a question from Nina. Could Cody become the new Victor this season with a theoretical battle back in the works? Could he come back and go from zero to hero?
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible. He seems to be really strong in the challenges that we've seen him compete in and, you know, isn't willing to give up. And he could very well become the new Victor, although, you know, definitely not as lovable.
Oh, certainly not. yeah, you know, there is a lot of talk about a battle back. We had, you know, there were a lot of people who were asking Allison Grodner some questions in lieu of exit interviews. And, you know, she wasn't giving the best answers. But but one of the questions I saw on one website was about Cameron. Will Cameron be coming back? Is there any battle back in the works? And the answer was definitely cryptic. I mean, that combined with the fact that we haven't seen Cameron at all. I really think that there's something in the works, whether it's a battle back or any sort of buyback. And if it is a battle back, I think Cody is probably the favorite to come back, which is the only thing where I'm like, if Cody goes home, not only have we lost like our villain, but I feel like Cameron's chances of coming back just like go way down. And that's like, oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He'll like, be like, okay, Jillian, I got this. And then he gets to Cody like, oh, darn it.
Yeah.
And I think the fact also that on the schedule, on CBS's schedule, there is an episode for Friday, the 21st of July. And I have to agree with you that there's probably some type of battle back or buyback situation in the works.
Yeah. You know, I hope it's not a battle back. I hope that they're doing something different. I mean, I do appreciate the concept of the battle back. Where, you know, it's due to their own skill in some sense. you know, it's been done before now. And I feel like with the whole temptation thing, why not just make it a temptation? You know, like, I understand, like, maybe there's the temptation, then they take a temptation and the battle back starts up
right
because of it. But I feel like there's a better way of implementing this than doing a battle back. I'd like to see some new ideas.
Yeah, well, you're saying this to the same people that brought back the you know, battle, or oh my goodness, I even blocked it from my memory,
battle
from
of
BB
the block.
Oh my God, yeah, the Battle of the Block, like, that's seriously, that's how much I hated it. I completely erased it. Gone complete Black Mirror.
Well, I mean, you know, Battle of the Block, Battle Back, like, it's already a recycled thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're all about the alliteration. It's okay.
Yeah, they really are. You know, I thought I was doing my own thing with those roundtables, but no, guess not. So Christmas gets this temptation, the ring of replacement, and she also has to choose three people to be cursed, which is different. You know, the last one, it was random. Now she is choosing three people, and she initially decides to curse which three people, Liana?
She initially chose Cody, Jessica, and Ramses. That is what she said when she first came out of the Den of Temptation.
Yes, she really just really wants to pile these curses onto Ramses. Poor Ramses. It's still unclear whether or not you can have more than one curse, because Ramses did not, in fact, get cursed. And we're not entirely sure why. You know, either you can't be cursed twice, or you can't have two curses at the same time, or maybe for some reason, because he was nominated, he couldn't be cursed. Many theories out there. I'm sure we'll find out, or maybe we won't, to be honest.
Well, so it's, you know, it's funny because the curse that we know of at the moment, what has been told to us by the house guests, is that the cursed house guests must wear toad costumes. They are called V-toads. V-toads. Get it? Yeah. And they have to wear that costume for a week. They have to hop around everywhere, and they have to stand on lily pads. There's some speculation because they're called V-toads, and also the ring of the temptation and the curse seem to be compatible in some way or complementary, that they might not be able to play in the veto, but that is completely speculation. We haven't actually had anything to confirm that.
Yeah, it definitely would seem like overkill.
Yeah. Roadkill.
Right. Like, man, we really want to backdoor Cody. Let's make sure we replace him if he gets picked. Oh, but don't even worry. He can't even get picked because he was cursed in the first place. I guess it would give a little more power to this, like, not very powerful temptation. But man, I mean, you know, talk about, like, This is the opposite of what we want to see, where it's like we want to see Cody have a shot, right? Like, yeah. we don't want to see Cody just go out with a whimper like Devin did. Like, come on.
Yeah, seriously, don't bury him 6 feet underground before he even has a chance at all.
Yeah. So I have a question from Nikki, who asks, should she have told her whole alliance that she got the temptation? Now, she did ultimately tell Paul that she got the temptation, but she didn't tell anybody else, and they kind of got a good idea that probably Christmas got this, and they're not super happy about it. What do you think about this, Liana?
Yeah, it's funny because Mark and Dominique were having a conversation with Paul where they essentially said, oh, yeah, we really think Christmas got it. Of course, Paul is trying to throw them off the scent. They're like, well, maybe it was Raven, you know, and they are like, no, it's definitely Christmas. And Dominique really didn't seem too fazed by it. Mark did clearly seem somewhat, you know, annoyed by the fact that Christmas didn't tell them. I don't quite understand why Christmas is hiding this from her alliance. I think maybe part of it is just the burn of, you know, her alliance, just her alliance, theoretically, just turning on her last week. But, you know, the temptation is not that great. it's really going to be probably implemented this week in case of a backdoor. But she does have the opportunity to use it all season. So not only is this ring of replacement good for ensuring that a backdoor can happen, but if you personally are being targeted as the subject of a backdoor, you can put yourself on the block in order to give yourself a chance to compete. So I think that that's part of her rationale behind hiding it. But I think it would just be in her best interest to tell everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. And especially since, like, you know, it's not even that much of a benefit to her. She's not even going to be able to compete in probably at least like 66% of the competitions, at least. I don't think she needs to hoard. I think this is a great example of, like, use this to gain goodwill with your alliance. Rather than hoard it as an advantage, because it's not that much of an advantage. to talk more about this toad situation, because I find it incredibly amusing that Cody has to wear this costume. You know, just if you haven't seen this, picture Cody in Nicole's frog outfit.
But they also have capes, And I think they have, I couldn't tell. I tried to, like, I took the, you know, largest, highest resolution picture I could. There seem to be these, like, weird spots on them. And then they also have what appear to be footprints, which I don't know what that is, but it's just absolutely hilarious. And then not only that, but watching him hop around is so funny because he's, like, angrily hopping, which I didn't realize was possible. But it's, you know, and the fact that he thinks that he won't have to wear his costume, it's just like the cherry on top.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I mean, it's obviously it's Cody, like, just like so angry. It's like because that he, and it's him and Jess, so they're like making out in frog costumes. And he's thinking, you know, I've watched this show. I've never seen anybody go out with a costume on eviction night. Dude, all these dweebs that are watching the feeds, they know about the costume curse. You need to be more up on your BB history.
Oh my gosh, like, yeah, I got a rude awakening for you. Oh my gosh, it's definitely watching them make out is hilarious. It's like going to a Halloween party with a bunch of people in costumes, and just I don't know what victim noises toads make, but Cody is making a lot of them.
Yes, Montana Cook asks, will Cody have to hop to Julie if he's a
I really hope so. I really, really hope so. And there better be like a lily pad underneath the chair. And it would just be insult to injury.
Julie shakes his hand and is like, and he starts to walk away. And she's like, hey, no.
Mm-mm. Hop.
Hop.
Yes, exactly. Please make this happen, BB gods.
Oh man. The next thing I want to talk about is Dominique and Mark. We have a question from Lauren who asks, is Dominique too focused on Elena? She seems to be constantly complaining about her to Mark. So basically Dominique had another conversation with Mark last night over chess. Do you want to tell us about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, they had a conversation again. Most of it was surrounding Elena and Dominique saying, I can compartmentalize. You don't have to choose, you know, her or me, but she's very jealous of me and she keeps staring at me. So while Dominique seems to say that she doesn't care about Elena, she does talk about her quite a bit.
Yes, a lot. There's, you know, I keep saying I'm not sure I like this from Dominique. You know, it's very hard to win over somebody when, you know, you talk to them like, don't trust Elena. Don't trust Elena. She's jealous of us. She's going to do something that's going to ruin us. Like, and then he goes and he's making out with her later on in the night. Like, that's a hard sell to overpower the making out-ness. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
people usually side with their hormones, but you know, she's doing it successfully so far, and you know, I don't want to underestimate her abilities. It's certainly possible that she's like a very good Big Brother player and what she's doing is actually going to be successful, and she manages to actually keep him from being loyal to her or to Elena over herself, which would be very impressive and I'd love to see.
Yeah. And, you know, she got Mark to say, oh, well, what if Elena gets targeted? And then Mark said something along the lines of, well, then it wasn't meant to be. Obviously, that's in the moment where he's not making out. So the hormone levels are definitely a little different. So when push comes to shove, he could end up changing his tone on that. But, you know, it's funny because she talks about it so much. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy that she's continuing to remind him, look, you need to compartmentalize. This is an emotional relationship. You have to think strategically. So I guess I kind of have overall mixed feelings about her continuing to push this. I just hope it works out for her in the end.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Dan and Danielle, where Dan is, you know, constantly saying to Danielle, like, don't let your feelings for Shane get in the way of our thing here. And it works. Like, Dan is able to keep Danielle on a leash. Who knows if Dominique is capable of that level of manipulation, but I'm certainly here for it if she is. But another thing to look out for, Nina asks, is it a love triangle or an alliance triangle? She did talk about, you know, I felt a kind of connection and attraction, but you know, other things happened essentially. Like, he got with Elena. It does seem like Dominique may have a little bit of feelings for Mark, and maybe that's why she's so up on Elena. That would be unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to read too much into this based on the subtext of their conversation, but the fact that she is bringing it up so much, and it is about she's jealous of me, sort of putting it in the context of Dominique herself, makes me think that there could be something there. So whether or not this is why Dominique is trying to force some type of wedge in, you know, because it's not purely strategic. Maybe she has some type of ulterior motives because she caught feelings for him. I don't know, but that's definitely on the table as a possibility.
Yeah, I would like to think that what Dominique is doing is saying, you know, she's jealous of me, she's jealous of our relationship, and, you know, I do kind of like feed his ego a little. Like, of course I like you, Mark. Like, who wouldn't
you? How could I not like you? You're such a cute teddy bear.
I hope it's more that than the other, but we'll have to see. She also points out Elena's relationship with Ramses, which is sketching Mark out. She's saying, like, you know, maybe Elena is putting Ramses up to some of this, you know, this whole banner thing where he's saying Dominique and Mark have an alliance. Elena could be behind that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there does seem to be this weird distrust with Ramses, and whether or not, you know, it's because Elena is theoretically using him and Dominique is just bringing that up to further put a wedge between Mark and Elena. But Ramses, you know, not to completely change subjects, but we've talked about him possibly being the target if for some reason Cody is able to win or is able to win the veto. Because both Christmas and Jason have also talked about their distrust for Ramses. So if you have Mark and Dominique and Christmas and Jason all kind of spouting this distrust, that doesn't necessarily bode well for Ramses moving forward.
Yes. And, you know, we have Ramses up on the block. Paul has asked him to throw the veto, and he talked with Elena about this. He's very nervous. And, you know, as we've talked about, he said he's probably not going to. But we do have a question from Puya, our great, great Puya, who is another member of the So You Think You Can podcast competition. So if Ramses does win the veto, is he going to take himself off, or is he going to try to take somebody else off and allow Cody to be the replacement?
Well, from what I've heard, he would use it on himself. I mean, he's talked a lot about, oh, this is, you know, very conflicting and I need to throw it. But also, I never said I was going to throw this competition. And certainly if I actually won it, I was going to use it on myself. I mean, he was very adamant about the fact that if he had the veto, he was going to use it if he was on the block. So I have to imagine, just based on the evidence that we have so far, if he wins the veto competition, I think he's going to take himself off.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a quote unquote super fan. he's a fan of the show. He knows not to use the veto on somebody else if he's got it. And I mean, it is going to put him in a tough situation for sure, though. I think basically the entire house will be angry with him. And it's not like he can align himself with Cody and Jessica at this point. So, I mean, it's not going to put him in a great spot, but obviously if you have the opportunity, you got to take it, you know, you got to.
I think we should ask Ramses if he thinks he could be evicted in a costume. Maybe that's a test that we should start giving out.
Yeah. We have a question from Montana who asks, do you think it's in Kevin's best interest to keep Ramses? He seems to be his scapegoat for everything, which is absolutely true. Ramses is being accused. Everybody thinks Ramses has the $25,000. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks Ramses voted to evict Jillian. Like, everything that Kevin does is being blamed on Ramses. Like, constantly. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's like, oh yeah, no, that wasn't me, that was the dog. So I think if Ramses goes, what's Kevin gonna do? Is he gonna pick a new scapegoat, or is he gonna have to own up to it? I don't know. At least, you know, either be like, yeah, Ramses, like, good thing that kid's out of the house with that $25,000.
Yeah, at least now we don't have to worry about that anymore, yeah. Do we? Kevin is so much fun to watch. He is like the perfect combination right now of like great character on the feeds. He's entertaining to watch, and also he's like, just, he's playing harder than almost anyone with the amount of lies he's done. Like, if this was anyone else, we'd be like, what an idiot Kevin is trying to like juggle all these lies. But because it's Kevin, it's so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, there is no reason for you to do this. Like, why are you? You are in the majority. Why are you making up these lies? But then I'm at home watching, like, yes, Kevin, go.
Yeah, and as Nikki points out in the chat, Paul knows all of Kevin's deep, dark secrets. Like, the second Kevin doesn't listen to Paul, all of this is coming out. So be careful, yeah. Kevin.
But again, that's what's it. Like, Kevin is playing the game because Kevin is doing exactly what Paul wants to hear, right? So Paul is doing his vetsplaining. You got to not be so smart, right? Like, got to play it down. Kevin's, like, playing dumb. Like, oh, my gosh, it's amazing. Who would have thought that this guy would be such a good Big Brother? Well, I have reservations on that, but at least an entertaining Big Brother player.
Yes. I talked about preseason. If Josh wins this season, it's going to be a great season. I feel like if Kevin wins this season, it'll be an amazing season. And I didn't think that was necessarily a possibility preseason. So you never know. And Paul just keeps telling Kevin to dumb it down. Like, I am getting frustrated at this point. Like, how many times do you need to say this? Like, I understand what you're going for, Paul, but, like, just stop saying it. He's got the message.
Well, and it's so funny because I don't even think Paul is, like, looking at what Kevin is doing. If Kevin is actually dumbing it down, like, there's no feedback mechanism here. It's just Paul continuously repeating, gotta dumb it down. You gotta dumb it down because Paul is amazing and knows all.
Yeah, it is. She's just like, you got to stop, like, naming capitals and presidents.
Yeah. Like, he was like, I'll cool it on the states.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Oh, man. Another question from Elizabeth. Do you think Paul wants to go to Final Three with Kevin or Christmas? Who's he closer with here?
Oh, my gosh, that's a good question. You know, I haven't, because of all of the craziness and this literally being the end of the first week, just starting the second week, looking all the way to Final Three, I think at this moment, Paul sees Kevin as his goat. You know, Kevin is really well liked, but, you know, Kevin, in Paul's eyes, Kevin is not playing the game. And so when he gets to the final, if he gets to the final two, with Kevin, you know, Paul thinks, oh, I've got this great resume. Look at all these things I did. And this guy just hung out, named capitals and presidents. And that's all he contributed to this game.
Yeah, I agree. It does feel a little bit like Paul is like, hey, Kevin, dumb it down so that when we're in the final two together, everyone thinks you're dumb. Like, and I think that's it's kind of like how Kevin is taking it. Like, stop telling me to be dumb. But then at the same time, this is the same guy that took Nicole over James. So maybe if he gets to the final three with Christmas and Kevin, he'll be like, all right, so here's the guy that I took as a goat, and here's Christmas, who looks like badass, who, like, broke her foot but managed to get to the end. Christmas is probably the right pick here, right?
Yeah, he's really good at that, like, final decision. And we also know that he learned so much from his previous season. Oh, yeah. So I think that really sunk in for him.
Yes. So the last thing I want to talk about, Paul, he has said if somebody does win the veto, he wants the person to be that is taken off the block to be Alex and not Josh. He says because he feels like Alex is a juicier target, just in case people want to switch up their votes. Again, I feel like Paul is doing everything in his power to maximize the odds of Cody going home here, but he's not really paying attention to all the details in between. Like, Josh was just on your side. It was a hard decision for him. He's taking a lot of heat for siding with you and voting Christmas out, or voting to keep Christmas. And now you're just completely turning your back on him, and, like, you've put him up as a pawn. And now, after telling him that you would use the veto to take him off the block, you're telling everyone to take Alex off the block instead. You know that's going to get back to Josh at some point if he needs to know it.
Yeah, it's so funny because if you look at these moves on paper, I mean, getting the two pawns to go up and then making sure that Alex is the one that comes down, because, like you said, she is the juicier target. All of that makes sense, but his execution of it has just been a little bit of a disaster, because, you know, ultimately at the end of this week, yes, Cody may go home, but you're going to have Josh, who had reservations about going up. You know, it's going to come back to him. He's not going to be trusting of you. So him is your secret weapon. Well, that's not really going to be the case. And so I think that ultimately this could end up at least somewhat backfiring on him, because it's still early enough in the game. I don't know if it would necessarily have huge ramifications for him, but it's something to be concerned about.
Yes, we have a question from Jeff Nelson, who asks, who do you think will be the first to turn on Paul once his 3 weeks of immunity runs out? And I think I could easily see a scenario where Josh is the one to take Paul out, where, you know, Josh has just had it. You know, he wins one of these HOHs, and then his crazy HOH week is like him just backstabbing Paul. I could 100% see that.
Oh, I would love to see that personally. I don't know if necessarily that's the move that he would make. But if Paul continues to treat him this way, then I absolutely think that Josh, which we know with just a little bit of kindling will ignite. This could be all it takes for him to turn on Paul.
Yes. And Nikki also points out in the chat, Paul has even said that he would like Josh to go over Alex. And this is absolutely true. Paul has been talking like this again, Paul, like mimicking Cody's HOH style, where it's like, you know, I have a plan. It's a terrible plan. I'm not going to tell you about it. At least he was able to back away from it, unlike Cody. But he's also like, you know, I have a lot of respect for Alex. I feel like she deserves to be here. Like all like Alex is this like weird combination of like constantly making bad moves in terms of like getting herself up on the block, making herself a target, but then like getting the begrudging respect of everyone in the house. Like, it's very strange.
Yeah, this is some weird deja vu. Exactly. Like with the fact that Alex said, oh yeah, I'm going to come after the couple straight to Cody's face, and then agreed to be a pawn for Paul this week. But still, for some reason, the HOH, you know, yeah, like you said, begrudgingly respects her. I don't know. Maybe Alex has some social game that I have completely overlooked. Or the HOHs are idiots. That could also be the case.
No, idiots. No, never. it's the video gamer stuff. That's she's learned how to get the respect of her opponent.
Well, hopefully she learned how to turn on the Xbox controller too.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, so that's our morning update for today. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a fun one. We will be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern. These very early morning updates. I hope that you appreciate it. You know, you'll have all day to listen now. You can listen on your morning commute or whatever. Hopefully you enjoy that. And so, yes, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.